Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Would a scrappage scheme aimed at getting motorists to switch from petrol and diesel cars to electric vehicles help tackle climate change? A draft report by a cross-party group of politicians has been probing how the government can encourage people to reduce their carbon footprint. So would it work? Would you switch over if you're driving petrol currently, if you're driving diesel currently? Would you like a new car? And would electric be a way that you would go, particularly if they, for example, lowered your VORT? Are electric cars the way forward? Shane O'Donoghue, editor of CompleteCar.ie, joins me now to discuss it. Shane, you're very welcome.
Afternoon, Ciara.
First of all, are we ready for this? I drive a car. I drive a diesel car, which apparently is the worst for the environment. Although when I bought it, because it's not new, I was helped by it in a way because it was practically being encouraged by including the Green Party, I think, to buy diesel cars because of emissions. And now apparently they're terrible. So what, you know, people want to do the right thing, but are we ready for electric cars to start off with?
I don't think we're 100% ready, but it's not as far away as some are saying, I guess. This scrappage scheme, I mean, it's probably worth mentioning to listeners that it's being talked about. There's no plan in place. You know, at the very earliest, the government could do something by the budget at the end of the year, but I'd be surprised if anything does by then. Now, from my opinion, there's a couple of hurdles, really. We're not quite ready. First and foremost, we don't have enough electric model options.
The actual cars themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. On the market right now, I think there are less than 10 different electric cars on sale in Ireland right now, as opposed to hundreds of petrol and diesel versions.
Okay.
So, and of those, there is limited supply. So a lot of the manufacturers are saying, because of demand around the world, because of a bottleneck in battery production, there's a major issue with supply of electric cars.
Okay,
around the world.
So the cars are thinnish on the ground. Are they also, do they have price points that suit every pocket, or are they still very expensive?
Yeah, that's the second point I was going to bring up, really. Of the less than dozen that are on sale right now, the cheapest is about 24,000 euro, including grants and everything. It's the Renault Zoe. And that's for a small hatchback, a small city car, effectively, which effectively is costing you the same as, say, a new Golf, a bigger, more comfortable, more luxurious car. But not only that, there are very few in that kind of price range. So the Nissan Leaf is under 30,000, but then you're kind of taking big jumps. So the cars that are grabbing the headlines, the Jaguar I-Pace, the Audi e-tron, the Teslas, they're all 70,000, 80,000.
They're luxury cars. I mean, somebody who spends 80 grand on a car is either very wealthy or has some kind of a job where it's provided to them. So these will hit people's pockets significantly. And can the savings be offset by savings in terms of cheaper to run, cheaper to insure, or are they still going to remain an expensive option?
Right now, they're going to remain an expensive option. There is evidence that you should get cheaper insurance depending on them. I'm sure the Teslas aren't cheap to insure, for example. But, you know, things like the Hyundai Kona Electric, you know, they're more relatively normal price. The insurance for those is a bit less. Tax is way less. But you're talking about a few hundred euro a year there. So that's not, you know, that's not really significant. Your running costs should be significantly lower, to be fair, depending on where you're charging it off.
But not enough to offset the initial investment. That's one thing. So the cars are expensive and indeed the range of choices is limited. What about the grid? What people really, when I talk to people about electric cars, Shane, what they say to me is I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid I'd run out of electricity halfway down the country. And these aren't even people who drive down the country all the time. People want to know that if their car is running out of power, that it is really, really easy to pull in somewhere and charge it up with juice again, be that, you know, electricity or whatever that the car runs on. So do we have a grid where it, you know, if I'm down the country somewhere and I'm running out of petrol, I can go into Google Maps and I can literally hit petrol stations and it'll say 6K, 5K, 10K. They're everywhere and they all sell diesel and they all sell petrol. What's the story with electricity charging points?
Yeah, it's another major hurdle we have to get over. And I hope if the government does a scrappage scheme, it is in parallel with a significant upgrade to the infrastructure. I know it's been talked about anyway, but right now the major issue, and that's with a relatively small number of electric cars on the road. Anecdotally, and I've experienced it myself, I've heard from a lot of EV owners, they get to electric charge points and they're either occupied or they're not working, or there's so many cars plugged into them that they don't charge as quickly as they should. And effectively, there aren't enough of them right now. And that's with a very, very small number of electric cars on the road.
Yeah. And people keep texting in about not just the lack of them everywhere, but the fact that they are out of order. And that must be... What do you do if your electric car runs out of electricity and the charging point nearest to you is out of order? I mean, what can you do?
No, it's infuriating, to be honest. You can't just go with a can and get a gallon of fuel and put it in. Yeah, you know, you used to call a breakdown service in that situation, and
that's extremely off-putting. And the other thing is, I suppose, is if you're factoring in that you're maybe going to drive from, supposing you're driving from Belfast to Cork and you know you need a stop, if you pull in and there's one electrical charging point and somebody is using it and there's somebody ahead of you in the queue, so there's two people ahead of you, could you be stuck there for the guts of an hour waiting to charge your car?
Yeah, longer, to be honest. I mean, the latest cars are quicker at charging, but yeah, some of the cars, especially with the longer ranges, I mean, a long range means effectively a bigger fuel tank in terms of electricity. So that takes longer to put power in. So yeah, a lot of cars take an hour to 2 hours to charge up. And if you're stuck there waiting in a queue, you could well be delayed.
And so... So you could be thinking, well, my drive time from Belfast to Cork, and I don't know what it is, but let's say it's 4.5 hours. You could end up driving, in fact, for 6.5 hours by the time you got there because of a difficulty with charging. I mean, it's not attractive. I don't know how much VRT they're talking about knocking off. I've heard the figure of €1,500. But to be honest, for the certainty of being able to know what time I'll arrive at my destination, that there's no possibility that I will need a breakdown service on the way, I don't think I'm going to be currently in the market for paying for the pleasure of an expensive new electric car.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. Electric cars are not yet ready for everybody. That's a key message, I think. There are thousands of motorists in Ireland who, you know, never need to drive the length of the country. Most of their driving is just in and out of town, or even 100 kilometres here and there. You know, most modern electric cars on the market already can deal with that. So for them, this potential scrappage scheme is tempting, but I think it would be realistic that the whole country couldn't suddenly switch over right now to electric cars. The cars aren't ready, the technology isn't ready, the infrastructure isn't ready, but it is coming in the future.
Yeah, I can see we're moving in this direction, and I understand why we are, and I do believe climate change is massively important and needs to be dealt with it, but it's not an attractive option for people at the moment, and they need to make the good option, the sensible option, the easy option, not the difficult option. Just last question for you, Shane. Someone has texted in. Can someone please tell me how and with what we will create the electricity that we would need to charge if everyone has an electric car? Because that's a massive uptake of electricity. We already import electricity from England. Electric cars, if they were ever to be an option for everyone, would we need nuclear power to create the electricity? What will we do with the extra demands on the grid? Will that simply be fossil fuel as well? Like, where are we going to go in terms of providing the electricity to run all these cars?
Well, the government already has a commitment to moving more and more towards sustainable electricity supply. And that's happening regardless of the electric car revolution, if you like. So, you know, you would hope that will come on stream and, you know, for the future it will be able to cope with that. Because realistically, we're not going to suddenly replace the 8-9 million cars in Ireland overnight. Cars. So it's going to be a slow process.
All right. Listen, thank you very much for talking to us. That's Shane O'Donoghue there, editor of CompleteCar.ie. 53106, would you change? They're talking about bringing a scrappage scheme, reduce VRT if you move to electric. Do you feel confident about where we're going with this? And indeed, let's talk about how we're going to, you know, they're saying we're going to bring in more sustainable power here. Have they taken into account the fact that suddenly the demand for power is about to rocket because of all these electric cars? I don't know that I trust that they factor that in, because when you look at what we talked about earlier, school places, they build a load of houses and then don't factor in the need for new schools. We're not great at this, lads. What do you think? 53106, let me know.
Becoming extremely windy this afternoon with a mixture of bright spells and scattered showers and thundery showers, some of hail with sleet over high ground. Highest temperatures 7 to 9 degrees. And now up to date on News Talk.
Thank you for that, Stephanie and Ross. You're listening to Lunchtime Live with Ciara here on News Talk. Do get in touch with us. We want to hear from you and everything we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about waiting lists. They always get people's blood boiling. There's nothing worse than languishing on a waiting list, worrying about your health, or indeed seeing a loved one do the same, or indeed being bumped off a waiting list through no fault of your own. That's pretty grim as well. We want to hear from you on that. We have been talking as well about the difficulty with school places around the country, and indeed we've been talking about the potential of a scrappage scheme on electric cars. Would you now change from petrol or diesel to electric, or have you still got concerns? If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can call Ciara 1890 453 106. We'd love to chat to you on air. You can text me at 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Tweet us at Lunchtime Live NT or at Ciara Kelly Doc, or email us at lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Now, as I say, just before the break, we were talking about electric cars, and someone says, Ciara, Tesla and the Jaguar iPad get 300 miles on one charge. Surely that's more than most people would drive in a day. Charging points on the roads are only for the odd long journey. And I take your point, although you'd be afraid of a long journey breaking down in the middle of nowhere. I would be. I'd be afraid, particularly maybe as a woman. If you're driving at night or something, I'd be terrified, to be honest. And someone else says, hi, Ciara, I plan to buy an electric car for both myself and my wife next year. It'll be a huge choice for us. I'm currently getting solar panels installed on my house. The future is definitely electric. I think you're right, Paul. It is electric, but you're an early adopter, because I don't know that I feel confident in it at the moment, although I suspect we'll all end up with these cars. Someone says, Ciara, lead by example. How many ministers or TDs are driving electric currently? And someone else says, it's not just the lack of charging points that's stopping people from buying electric. It's unaffordable to most people to buy one. The government needs to do more to make it viable for ordinary punters to buy electric. Yep, I totally agree with you. It's still very, very expensive. And Jackie Healy-Ray got in touch with us on this subject too, and he's currently on the line. Jackie, you would struggle to trade in your diesel engine for an electric. Tell me why.
Simply because at the moment, Ciara, as you know, I'm a candidate in the upcoming local election, and I'm racking up a lot of money at the minute. And if I was relying on an electric car while I'm out canvassing, well, you can be sure that I'd be stopped on the side of the road a lot, because of the amount of miles that I'm racking up. It wouldn't be sustainable for me to have an electric car. Because simply in the places where I'm canvassing, there is no charge.
Yeah, so down in, I'm really glad to talk to you and thank you for coming on. So down in rural Kerry or in the hinterlands of where you're based, the chargers are thin on the ground, are they?
Well, not even in the hinterlands. Take, for instance, what we call the fast charge points. So that's where your car can charge up to 80% within 25 minutes. We have one of them in Kerry, and that's in Killarney.
The whole of Kerry, okay.
Yes, you're talking about the urban part of Kerry. Killarney has one. Lee has none, Listowel has none. So the fast charge points that I'm talking about, there is 1,100 charge points in Ireland, but we'll say when it comes to the real fast ones, they're not there.
Yeah.
And how can you expect then for people to transfer from their diesel petrol cars to these electric cars if the infrastructure isn't in place?
I suppose, Jackie, what people would argue is well, you get a charge point at home and you charge it overnight, and you go that road, and I get that argument. But what I want to ask you is, you're somebody who's currently racking up the miles because you're canvassing, but there are loads of people who are salesmen, who are, work as delivery people. There's loads of other people on the road who drive big miles, and they're not in your position, and they're in the exact same, though, difficulty as you. They are, conversely or perversely or whatever the term is, the ones who are giving off the most emissions because they're on the road the most. So they're the people we really want in the electric cars. What are we going to do to change this for people? I mean, you're going to become a politician, and if you follow in the rest of the political dynasty, local elections will only be a footnote to the Dáil. What do you think we should do to change this?
Well, first of all, I'd be the luckiest man in the world if the people in the Castle Island...
I hear you. Go on.
...would elect me. But yes, but like, start from the start, Ciara. Put in the infrastructure first. You can't expect people to jump on a bandwagon if there's nothing pulling it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So like, unless the government are willing to say, right, they now, in fairness to the ESB, they did provide 2,300 home free charge points. So that's where they installed charge points free in people's homes. But like, 2,300 homes, like, that wouldn't scratch the surface. Do you know what I mean? So, like, until the government gets serious and say, right, we really want to incentivize people to ditch the diesel, ditch the petrol, and change. But it's not always that easy
yeah.
for that. Because if you look at our agricultural sector, like, show me where's an electric tractor at the moment. Do you know?
I don't even know if they exist, but I do agree with you. It's all very well incentivizing us with a bit of a discount on the VRT or on the taxes. Yeah. That's no good if you can't drive the car.
No, and one thing about the car, there's a very reputable car manufacturer at the moment, I won't name them. They're offering 7 years warranty on the car, but they're only offering a 2 to 3 year warranty on the battery.
Okay,
so the battery is where the problems lie.
And are the batteries very expensive, do you know?
Between 4,000 and 7,000 euros.
€7,000 is the price of a second-hand car. Like, that's a lot of money. So,
I know that I could pick up a car in the morning for 500 euros.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's big money. That's not small money.
Exactly. It's not sustainable.
I hear what you're saying, and fair play to you for bringing it up. And I do think that you can't expect people in Kerry to all switch to electric. It doesn't matter what the VRT is, if there's one charging point that's speedy in Killarney. I mean, what kind of system is that? That's crazy. Loads of you texting. Someone says, "Hi Ciara, I have an electric Golf. It is fabulous. I am a city driver and it's perfect for me. I can't say enough good things about it. I don't think it's great though if you need to do high mileage. I charge it twice a week for about €2.50 and I love it." That makes great sense. And I can see why a city driver, somebody popping around town up and down to do the messages, that makes sense. But longer hauls, distances between charging points that take a long time to charge, these are considerable concerns for people. Someone says, "Ciara, electric cars are ideal for city people with short, regular journeys. I drive, though, an average of 100 kilometres a week. And if I win Euro Millions this week, I'll buy a Nissan Leaf. Until then, my 11-year-old low-mileage Suzuki Swift will continue to serve me with the AA membership just in case." That's good too. And someone else says, "Electric cars should have a common design of battery, easily removed and interchangeable between all models, so you could just drive in and have a fully charged battery instantly." Now, that's very clever, Kevin. I doubt you'll ever see different manufacturers getting together on it, but that's very clever. In the same way, up until recently, all headphones had the exact same jack, so you could put in any headphones into any device and it would work. Whereas now they're all a bit different. But that, being able to rotate your batteries and just pick up a new one, that would be fantastic. God, if I were you, by the way, Kevin, patent that right now, because we just put it out in the airways. And someone else says, "Hi Ciara, I have a first generation electric car, Renault Fluence Z. It maximum 120 kilometres and it takes 6 hours to charge. I have a charge point at my house and my husband and me commute to town from the ward in North County Dublin. We love it. If we're going further afield, we have to borrow another car or use Go Car." Yeah, and that's really good and you're really well motivated, and I really admire people who are so dedicated to being climate friendly. Lots of people not willing to have to borrow a car if they have to drive a bit further afield or do Go Car. It's only the people who are really good are supporting this. Currently, we need all people able to support it because the systems are in place. And someone else says, last one on this maybe, "I have been driving a Leaf for 2 years now. It's an amazing city and suburb car, really cheap to run, practically free compared to other fuels. As for plugging it in the garage, that's presently free too. Going long distance, however, is a different story. Ireland has a long way to go." And that's Dermot from the Green Gallery. Fair play, Dermot. But that's exactly the problem, isn't it? And Declan is on the line. Declan, you took a journey in an electric car recently and you say it wasn't that great an experience. Tell me why.
Hi.
How are you
doing, Ciara? My friend picked me up and we were just going to go for something to eat and his battery was very low. So we went to a fast charger in Special K there near the airport beside the hotel.
Circle K, sorry,
yeah.
That's okay.
And it has a fast charger. So a fast charger is, it's a holy grail. There's no point having slow charge. So you can have a coffee and come back in 15, 20 minutes. You have enough then. Get you home. So we went in anyway, and he said, "Great, there's nobody on it." But the reason there was nobody on it was because it was broken.
Okay.
We found out. So then the next nearest one was in Dublin Airport.
Okay.
So we drove there. Meanwhile, the power in the battery is dropping alarmingly.
Oh, God. Okay.
And we get to the airport and we go in there and that's broken as well.
Okay.
So the two fast chargers within, with the striking distance, working.
And this is my exact fear, Declan. And it's not that I wouldn't want to be doing the right thing, but yeah. You have to be somewhere important. You can't just people down by not turning up to something you said you'd be at or something.
But the infrastructure just is not in place at the moment. It's just not there, And
what did you do in the end? You were in Dublin Airport now. The car has practically no charge. What do you do?
The Circle K there. So I said to my friend, look at it. I said, I have to be somewhere now. I have to go. And so I left him there. He said the only other option was to go to an underground car park where he knew there was a slow charger. So I got a taxi home, and he had to go to an underground car park, and it took him an hour and a half to get enough of a charge to get him home.
Right. That doesn't fill me in any way with enthusiasm.
And it was
for
about
this.
9:30 at night, okay? So yeah. He didn't get home. He'd just come in from Brussels, and...
Do you know what strikes me?
The anxiety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I'm anxious listening to you, Declan.
Not knowing if you're going to get home or not, you know?
Do you know what else I feel? People who are trying to do the right thing are paying a high individual price for this.
It's too high a price at the moment because the infrastructure is not there. Especially when more people now are copping onto it and getting onto the electric cars.
Yeah.
It's putting huge pressure on a tiny amount of infrastructure, you know? So I don't know why they're not rolling out all these.
Well, it's all very well, you know, slashing VRT, but if you can't charge the car and you're having to call breakdown services all the time, or, you know, that's a form of madness. But I do feel kind of sorry for the people, the people who are trying to do the right thing. They're always the good people. They're the people who pick up their litter and the people who do all their recycling and don't use, you know, plastic and have a keep cup. These are the people who have the electric cars, and now they can't come home for hours at an end because they can't charge anywhere, or else they're stuck in an underground car park for 2 hours at 10 o'clock at night. It strikes me that
it can be free to, you know, you can actually almost run it for free because the ESB don't charge. Charge them up at the moment. So
that's never going to last.
And I don't know why they're not charging. If you charge for it, then there's a business model there where people can start putting them in and make some money off it, you know. But at the moment, they're all free. So there's no incentive for put out anymore.
Can I just say, Declan, that's never going to last. They're never going to have a situation with cars on the road that they aren't hitting us with some kind of charges
for. Well, that's true.
So that's just some kind of a loophole at the moment, or a little anomaly. That'll all change. Thank you for that. That's not a very encouraging story, but it's real and I like to hear it. Someone else says, in other European countries, electric cars are subsidised. They have more charging points too, and they have more benefits for companies to change to electric. How long will the 0% benefit in kind go on for here? At the moment, it's only till next year. I don't know. If anyone does know, come back and let us know. Maria is also on the line. Maria, you did consider going electric for a car. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I had previously I had a hybrid, and then I changed my car about 3 years ago to a diesel. And I do very low mileage. So actually, an electric car, the things that need to be done to my car, so an electric car seemed a great idea.
Yeah.
And I looked into it. My husband has a hybrid, so for long distances we'd use his car, and for me running around, and if he was running around, this is what the plan was. And it was, one was the price of the cars. So I did, stupidly, probably my own fault, I did drive around in the brand new model of an electric car, which has all the bells and whistles, and fell in love with it, found it really, really easy to drive, comfortable to drive. I live in Louth, and I drove down to Dublin, and no problem with the miles going down or anything like that. But I then was looking around at other cars, and actually a guy in the garage pointed something out to me. The car I was looking at was a 40 kilowatt car.
Okay.
And there's 67 kilowatt cars, and these Teslas have 100 or whatever kilowatts. But he was saying that what will happen in a year or two when I want to trade in my 40 kilowatt car,
okay,
when there's 60 to 100 kilowatt cars out there?
Okay.
There's not going to be any value in me trading in my car. Nobody will want it.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's like back in the day when you first bought smartphones and they were only, I don't know, 8 gigabytes or something. You'd never be able to, or whatever megabytes, whatever they're. Like now they're 64 and multiples of that. People would never buy they become obsolete basically, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So it meant that if I was looking at a car now, I was going, okay, it will be expensive to change over, but in the long run it will work out. But not if in 2 years' time or 3 years' time I want to change to another model, or, you know, with a longer distance, and I can't get a trade in. And I've also heard people saying that they can't actually, when they go to trade in the garage, they're not actually taking them. They're telling them to sell them privately.
I have heard
the garages can't sell them.
On the text line here, people are saying to me that because a lot of people who buy electric cars are car enthusiasts, is that they want new cars because they keep upgrading them and souping them up and stuff, that the resale value is not great on them because people are going for the new model all the time to be kind of, you know, because they are those early adapters. So you anyway decided not to. The more I hear about it, the more I'm kind of going, is hybrid not the way forward anyway? Because I would not like to be stuck somewhere without my car being charged, having to look for a breakdown service at night somewhere where I didn't know where I was, or those types of things.
Yeah, well, I had a hybrid for one of the early, I think it was a 2005 hybrid, and I loved it and I never had any problems with it.
Yeah.
So, and as I say, my husband has a hybrid now. So we did think about it, but it was actually we had a small company, so we were going to buy it through the company, which meant no BIK. So that was one of the reasons we were also looking at the electric, and the fact that the tolls would be cheaper, you know, because you've reduced tolls.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. When you have an electric car, you can register it and you get a reduced toll price.
Okay.
So now I think that's only with the e-tolls or the electronic tolls rather than paying cash.
Okay. Okay. But,
so that would be another. So overall, we were kind of looking at it and we're going, okay, we might make it work. But just, and obviously they don't apply with hybrid. Now, when I first got my hybrid as well, I got it before they reduced the tax on it. So okay. I was paying for it being a full petrol car when it was hybrid. So I lost out on that and I'm going. So it was another reason to kind of say, I'm going to wait for another year, maybe even 2 years with my own car, and then might look at electric cars and see if the bigger batteries might make a difference and if there's better incentives at that stage.
All right,
but I also don't think they're doing enough for getting companies to go to. I know BIK is great for the employees, but from the companies themselves, I think they could do it more incentives to encourage them to use it.
Look, thank you for that, Maria, and lots of very good points well made as well. Somebody says, has anyone asked what does it actually cost to charge the car at home on your electricity? How much electricity does it use? That's from Andy. And someone says, Ciara, we're not actually ready for electric here, but we are getting there. In the meantime, the hybrid is a great option. It is an Irish solution to the usual Irish prevarication. Thank you for that, Brian. Keep your text coming, 53106. Take a short break. We're going to be talking about waiting lists just after this.